Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us. We're going to be joined by a lot of people today. We'll be joined by Usama Dakdok, Sharam Hadian, Annie Cyrus. I would venture to guess by, and we're going to be joined at the 15 mark by Aaron and Israel for an update there. I would venture to guess by the announcement of my first three guests, you pretty well know what we're going to talk about, right? Exactly. Well, we're going to talk about what we mentioned yesterday, and that is this disturbing propaganda being put out by Hamas. We're going to go to the document. Hamas releases propaganda doc denying atrocities, blaming Israel for civilian deaths on October 7th. Now, again, the thought could be, oh, we're not going to respond to these guys because we know it's all lies. Why give any credibility to even addressing it? You know the old saying? It doesn't merit a response. Well, the problem is, it is being accepted as the truth. And many people inside Christianity, evangelicalism, the secular world, many are buying these lies. Many of the young people, they don't know the truth. They're buying the lies that Israel was responsible for October 7th. And maybe Israel actually carried the whole thing out themselves. It's all fake. It was all basically a movie. And the poor Hamas has been set up. These are the lies going around, folks. And some of you are trying to battle those lies with your own children and grandchildren. So we must address the lies. You know, Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. You know, this is a spiritual battle. We need to expose this darkness and this, you know, demonic movement that seeks to eradicate the Christians and the Jews from the planet. And many have bought the lie that somehow there can be some kind of syncretism between Judeo-Christianity and Islam, for Chrislam. Well, that's a lie. The Bible also says we are to destroy the arguments raised up against the principles of the Lord, not individuals destroying arguments. Many people today that are believing these lies, they don't know their lies. Isn't that the dangerous thing in part about deception? Many people being deceived don't know they're being deceived. Many people being lied to don't know they're being lied to. It's not until they are presented with the truth that they realize, I was being lied to. I was being deceived. Thank you so much for opening my eyes. And that's what we have to do. We have to expose this and destroy it. And in the process, bring some of these people that have been deceived and lied to our side, who also then become, well, those that speak truth and open the eyes of others. Kind of like that old commercial. And she told one, and she told one, and she told one, you know? And it broadens out. I think it was for a shampoo back in the 70s. But that's what we need to do. And that's what we're going to do. Joining me now is Annie Cyrus, born and raised in Iran, expert on Islam, speaks some of the various languages and reads them, Farsi and whatnot. And then we have Sharam Hadian, also born in Iran. So both of them are Iranians. Usama Dakdok is from Egypt. He was never a Muslim. His daddy planted Christian churches all over Egypt. He'll join us. But he reads Arabic. So we have a great team here. Let's go to him. Annie and Sharam, both of you, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Brandon.
And Sean?
Thank you, Brandon.
There you are. How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Good. And do we have Usama? All right, we're working on Usama. All right, let's start with this. Please respond first to my opening monologue. Why is it important, guys, that we respond to the propaganda and lies of Hamas? Or should we just say, you know what, we're not going to give it credibility by talking about it? Or are we talking about it because people have already given it credibility? Would you like to go first, Sharam?
Thank you, Brandon. I agree with you on the question you just asked. And I think really all of those three, or the number two and number three, are key, which is that it is important to respond to lies because, as you said in your opening, we must expose the works of darkness. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We cannot let the lack of knowledge and deception stand. We must expose number two. Number three, to your point, yes, they're already believing it. Yes, this is the majority narrative. Yes, if we look at, particularly within Christian circles, and as you mentioned, not just within the world, but within the church, they believe this narrative. Christians who try to take a neutral stance on Israel and the Arabs and this conflict, this is the type of messaging and propaganda that is going to affect the majority of the church. Let's not forget that more than 60% of the American church professes to support replacement theology, which believes Israel even shouldn't be there. So this plays into that absolutely 100% and must be exposed.
Annie, your thoughts, please.
I'm going to look at it as an ex-Muslim. And I said, the reason we need to address the lies is because there's a concept known as taqiyya in Islam, which allows Muslims to lie under certain circumstances. Number one is furthering the agenda of global caliphate or Islamization of the world. And because many people decided not to spend time to expose their lies and taqiyya, they have furthered their agenda all over Europe and pretty much 10 to 12% in the United States of America. So we have to do it, because if we don't, they just keep using that concept to fool people into believing we can coexist.
So do we have Usama yet? No? All right, we'll keep working on getting Usama. All right, well, that being said, let's go to this 16-page document that has been put out by Hamas. It's entitled Our Narrative. Our Narrative. That's kind of an interesting title. Our Narrative. Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. First of all, at the top of the page, and our listening friends on radio cannot see this, so we need to tell them what this is. What, first of all, let me tell you as a layperson what I see. Immediately, I see what I think in their little logo, and I don't know what they're saying in Islam, but I'm pretty sure I know what they're saying with the cross swords, because we've gone through it before with you guys and with the late Phil Haney and others. But right away at the top, I notice what looks like to be the map of Israel, and it's all green, which means there's no Israel. Sharam?
Absolutely, Brandon. That was very astute. That was the first thing I was going to mention to you, is the fact that when they shout, again, from the river to the sea, let's not forget that phraseology was originally from the river to the sea, Palestine will be Arab, not just free. So that's exactly right. All of the modern-day border of Israel belongs, they claim, and this 16-page document is asserting the same thing, right? That, oh, we were here first, 105 years of occupation, and this belongs to us. They're the usurpers. They're the ones who came in and stole our land. So it is, this is incumbent on us to push back. So that's exactly right. And then you got the two swords there, right, with the Dome of the Rock, which is the former Byzantine structure. The two swords is the same symbolism of the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's not forget that their logo in Arabic is the same thing, the Quran in the middle with two swords and the word prepare. Here, now, Usama can tell you what the Arabic is. I don't speak, you know, Annie and I don't speak Arabic. Maybe Annie knows better than I would, but the two swords are representing jihad. That is representing warfare to establish and to conquer that land, which they believe is theirs.
Excellent. Okay, Annie, you pick it up, please.
So the reason sword is that symbol for our audience. Muhammad said the heaven is under the shadow of the sword. So every Islamic jihadist group will have the sword based on the saying of Muhammad, heaven is under the shadow of the sword. Commit jihad, you earn your spot in heaven. As far as the Arabic part, on the right side, it says, La ilaha illallah. Muhammad and Rasulullah, which is the Shahada. Below the sword, it says Palestine, which is what they call themselves, but we have decided to cover that up and call it Palestine. And on the green area is the full name of Hamas, which in English translated from Arabic of Harakat al-Muqawamah al-Islamiyah is Islamic Resistance Movement.
So it says Islamic Resistance Movement in Arabic.
Movement, and then Hamas at the end of it, which is the abbreviation of H-A-M-A-S with the Arabic name of Islamic Resistance Movement,
and Hamas. What they're resisting is the nation state of Israel.
Yes. Existence of Jews.
And particularly, they are calling it Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. That's the Al-Aqsa Mosque up there. So let's go back to what we learned last week. Sharam, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. It gives me chills when I think about it. Remember all of us talking about the five red heifers that went to Israel from Texas. And we've shown the video of them all being unloaded off of a crate into a trailer, a cattle trailer. And they are hopefully going to stay unblemished and be what they need to fulfill, I think, Numbers 19, the requirements of the red heifer, so they can then use their ashes and then water purification for the temple. Now we are reading last week that back in September of 2022, we noted that these Islamic guys were saying these red heifers are a problem. They want them for purification rituals up on the Temple Mount. So we know that September 2022, they were already publicly Hamas leaders talking about they got a problem with these five red heifers that have come to Israel. Now we believe from other statements by them, the October 7th in part largely was, and maybe why they went without waiting on Iran and attacking Israel from both Gaza and the West Bank, as it's called, in other places, was over these heifers. So they are wanting to get rid of these heifers, get to them. I hear they're separated, they're under guard. But this all comes down to Operation Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is up on the Temple Mount, which brings us right back to the fact that the Jews have now potentially the five red heifers. They only need, I guess, one to be pure, sacrifice, use their ashes with water, and then we have a ceremonial pure Romans 19 for cleansing. Now, that could be a tabernacle. A temporary thing. Could it happen pretty fast? What are your thoughts on all this and how it relates to this document, our narrative, Operation Al-Aqsa Mosque, Sharam?
Brandon, that is really profound that you guys were covering that last week, because as you mentioned in Numbers 19 and the red heifers, they just need one. Under rabbinical teaching, when they get to 2 years and 1 day, so they're 2 years and 1 day old, which the oldest of these five would achieve this summer. So by this summer, by probably August, or I think it's about August or September of 2024, the oldest of those five could be potentially a candidate for the sacrifice. Now, let's not forget that according to both Hamas and to the IRGC from Iran, Hamas wanted to launch this attack on Passover. So they wanted to go earlier. They wanted to hit not just Israel, but Jerusalem during the Passover to bring more casualties. That plays into what you're saying. That further affirms what you're saying, that really this is ultimately about what they would consider to be the desecration of the Temple Mount, because they claim the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, of course, is under Jordanian Islamic control, religiously speaking, the Waqf Council. And the Al-Aqsa, which, of course, was built, I believe it was 651, conquered there on the left side of the Temple Mount. They believe, you know, they're claiming it's theirs. And we know from the Temple Mount Institute that the Jews ultimately want to build the temple, the third temple, on the right side of the Temple Mount.
Absolutely. Hold right there. Sharam Hadian will be right back. Joining me now is Melissa House. She called me today, and she told me something, and I said, you have got to tell the audience this. They need to hear this. It's really good news for those of you that, well, are taking Bella Grace. What happened today?
Well, I went to my hairdresser, and I had not told her about this product that I've been taking. And she said shortly after, well, when she was about to, when she was blow drying my hair, she said, I just noticed when I was parting your hair and fixing it that you have a bunch of new hair growth and a lot of, you know, short hairs that are more curly than normal. And she's like, I just can't believe you. I've been going to this lady for probably 13 years, and she's never said that to me. And I had noticed it, but for the fact that she noticed it was, I had to call Brand right away and tell him, well, I guess the collagen is definitely helping me grow my hair.
So that's, we have not mentioned this a lot because, you know, we're not going to make claims, okay?
Right.
You can go to the website, you can read the testimonials, you can read the clinical reviews, the clinical trials, but we're not prone to making a lot of claims about the product other than personally.
And I wanted to take it for a while.
And we wanted to take and try it. But we had heard that one of the things this would do...
Well, collagen will grow your hair.
Grow your hair. Collagen supposedly grows your hair.
Right.
So the...
And I have some little hairs that stick up,
the
actually,
hairdresser said you got all these hairs that are...
She said, you've never had this before. I don't...
And this is after how many weeks of taking this?
I think it's about 6.5 to 7. About 7 weeks.
7 weeks you've been taking this?
Yes.
But we had heard that was the testimony of others... Well, we can't go on that. So now you're saying, but you
and she saw it on her own without me even telling her that I was, and then I went on to tell her that I've been taking
what you were taking
product. Yes, but that's not the only thing that I. It's just given me a lot more energy and really helped my hip feel better.
Your sciatic nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this is a good thing because a lot of guys, I'm sure, but a lot of ladies, particularly after they've had COVID two or three times, we have friends who are losing their hair,
lost their hair. Right.
So this could maybe help them too.
I would think so, definitely.
Helping you.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it is one of our biggest sponsors now. She's the one that tried it, as you said, as you heard her say, for several weeks. And then I said, look, you go get them as a sponsor if you want. I've been taking it twice a day. It has three key ingredients we've been telling you about. Collagen, which all guys need collagen too. I mean, that's in their body too, and it decreases. So guys need collagen. Then it also has cat's claw, which is a very powerful anti-inflammatory, which is probably why it's helping your sciatic nerve.
Sciatic nerve, definitely.
Which Dr. Mark Miller talked to us, the formulator of this for 30 years, talked to us about that the other day. So you got collagen, you got cat's claw, and the third thing you have is the Astroreal Astaxanthin.
Good job.
Is that pretty good?
That's good.
I've been practicing. And that got the cognitive award in 2022. So, and that crosses blood-brain barrier and gets into the gut.
Right.
Whereas a lot of the collagen you're flushing down the toilet about 95%. This you're absorbing, according to studies, you're absorbing 95%.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's yes.
So there you go. All right. If you want more information, it's on the website. Again, it's set up under her name so they can track it and give credit back to our organization. We've explained to you the way we bring you these free shows is either through our foundation, supporting that, or through supporting our sponsors. This is one of our sponsors. So they track it with her name, because she's the contact with this sponsor, melissahouse.bellagraceglobal.com, Melissa House, H-O-W-S-E, melissahouse.bellagraceglobal.com. The testimonials are there, including the 80 clinical trials are there as well. melissahouse.bellagraceglobal.com. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio. Our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. And all of these programs are also posted as television at worldviewtube.com. Each and every night, 7 p.m. Central, is Worldview Report. And then 7:30 Central, Brandon House Live. And they're all put there on demand for you to go and watch anytime you want. So there you go, worldviewtube.com. We are on the blowtorch stations, terrestrial radio, of VCY America. So we want to also make sure that those watching on other networks and listening, because we have a lot of different networks that pick up parts and pieces of our programming, are aware of my broadcast partnership with VCY America now, I think it's 29 years. So again, if you're familiar with them, great. If not, I'd love to introduce you to them, vcyamerica.org. You'll find all about this great Christian radio network and their programming. And they have a TV station in Milwaukee, TV 30, that also carries Worldview Report, my nightly newscast, at 10 p.m. Central Time. They also have a Roku channel, so you don't have to live in Milwaukee to get their great television programming. You can find out about all of it, radio and television, at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Joining me is Annie Cyrus of liveuptofreedom.com, liveuptofreedom.com, and Sharam Hadian of tellministry.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Tillministry.com. We've now been joined by Usama as well as Aaron. Usama, are you there, my friend?
Yes. Hello, Brandon. Sorry I could not come on a little bit earlier. I apologize about that.
Okay. No problem. I don't know. Can you tell us what it says? I know Annie has told us a little bit. Can you tell us about what's being said here in Arabic in this symbol on this 16-page document by Hamas?
Yes, sir. It is actually the normal statement. I'm going to make it a little bigger so I can see it. Oh, my world. I cannot make it any bigger. So obviously the word Palestine is down there.
Yep.
حركة المنظمة الإسلامية. It is a organization movement of Islam of Hamas. That's written on the bottom, and obviously see the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque there, and that is their black, red and green, and black is their the colors which the Hamas enjoy to have it to be their representative. And that's all what's written on this.
That's exactly what Annie said it was. So there we go. We just had it confirmed by another expert. Okay, let's go back real quick to Sharam. Sharam, we were talking about the fact that this Operation Al-Aqsa Flood seems to really be tied to the five red heifers that have made it from Texas to Israel. Can you pick up there, please?
Yeah, so I apologize. I didn't hear the music. So I was just saying that you're absolutely right with the connection there. I do think that it is connected to the core. The number one, we know from this document that they're claiming 105 years of occupation. They're saying that all of the land of Israel that we would know as the land of Israel is theirs. It was supposedly Palestine, and that it was stolen from them. But it does really come down to Jerusalem, and it comes to the Temple Mount, and the Islamic world, and particularly I think Hamas and Iran, recognize that this is at a critical point where the Jews are ready with everything, right? The red heifers are the last piece of the puzzle. They are ready with everything to reinstitute the sacrificial system. They are ready to do it this summer on the Mount of Olives across the valley from Jerusalem, but they ultimately want to be on the Temple Mount on the right side. So if they can attack and attack Israel, and as I said before the break, they wanted to go on Passover much earlier, but Iran made them wait until October 7th. So that is astute. That is exactly, I think, spiritually speaking, what this is about. The whole language of colonization in this document is propaganda. That continues to be the propaganda. The core heart of Islam is the destruction of the Jews, the destruction of Israel. That's the heart of this. That's the heart of this, is to control Jerusalem and not allow them to reinstitute worship.
Let's go to this.
Or sacrifice, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's go to the points here in this. So they say, Hamas says first, why Operation Al-Aqsa Flood? Can you, Annie, address the point one and the lies? Or who wants to address point one and the lies?
Well, I can certainly try. When it comes to this topic, I'm sure Usama and Sharam is much of more experts than me. But one thing that caught my attention is the very first line, the battle of the Palestinian people against occupation and colonialism did not start on October 7th, but it started 105 years ago, including 30 years of British colonialism and 70 years of Zionist occupation. Right there. You know, Brennan, if we study this based on religion, let's say Judaism, Christianity, even Islam itself, Palestine never existed. Neither did Palestine. By the way, Palestinians did exist, but Palestine didn't. 105 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, or 2,024 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, there has never been a Palestine to be occupied. It has never been on the map. So to claim that Zionists, and by the way, I do love the fact that the whole 16 pages constantly refers back to Zionists. But Palestine never existed. So how do you claim occupation of Palestine and suffering of Palestinians or Palestinians, which is the proper word to use if we're talking their own language? How do you claim 75 years of Zionist occupation on a land that never existed anyways?
Exactly. Let's just make sure our audience understands. The Roman emperor decided, we'll insult the Jews by calling Judea. We'll call it Philistine, after the Philistines, to insult them. Then the Palestinians come in, Yasser Arafat and others say, we'll call it Philistine, after, you know, and then Americans start calling, I guess, Palestine, and there you're off to the races. But the people that came in claiming the Philistines, who the emperor called it after, that was the arch enemy of the Jews. They don't exist anymore. They're not in the region. The so-called Palestinians that came in, or the Philistines that came in claiming that with Yasser Arafat, there's no DNA. They weren't in the region. Who wants to address that?
Well,
can I address that? Exactly,
you don't mind,
right. You're exactly right there. And even within Islam. So I have a question for Usama. Usama's going to know the answers to this. Usama, is Jerusalem mentioned, or I'm sorry, is Israel mentioned in the Quran? The answer is correct, right? It's mentioned in the Quran.
Israel is mentioned in the Quran 44 times, but the word Palestine was never mentioned in the Quran,
what?
Not even once.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, but
Israel's
Yosama,
mentioned 44
Yosama.
Times. Israel's mentioned 44 times.
No, wait. Yosama, if we include the Bani Israel word, that's 131 times. Oh, Bani Israel,
right,
added to the Israel by itself 131 times.
Yeah.
Well, where I'm going with that is I wanted to ask Yosama the question. Because we know that Jerusalem is not directly mentioned. Jerusalem, right? They have Quds or Al-Quds. They don't mention Jerusalem. But they mention Israel, mm-hmm. or the land or the Holy Land, that type of terminology, correct? But
sure.
Usama, absolutely. How many times is Palestine mentioned in the Quran?
Zero times.
Brandon, that's my point.
There you go.
So Palestine, okay, forget the Bible, right? To Annie's point, there's never been a Palestine. There's never been a Palestinian people. Genetically, there's no such thing. There is no DNA, there is no lineage, there is no heritage, there is no bloodline, never, period. Doesn't exist. But in the Quran itself, it never mentions Palestine once. So if this land belonged to them, as they claim at the beginning of this article, that this is a 75-year Zionist occupation, that in 1918 they owned 98.5% of the land, the question is, why is it not mentioned? And why does the United Nations refuse to recognize Palestine as a state? Right? So those are questions that are not being asked of all of the leftists and all the social justice Christians that believe that the Jews are occupiers, that they're the ones who are stealing the land. We need to put them on the defensive and have them answer those questions and have Muslims answer the question, why is Palestine not mentioned in the Quran?
Usama?
How about that? What about what Allah said in Quran chapter 5, verses 20 to 26, which is a great evidence internal the Quran, inside the Quran, that Allah have given that land to Moses and his people, which he erroneously called it the Holy Land instead of the word the promised land. So we have in the Quran the perfect evidence that that land belongs to the Jewish people, not to anybody else. End of the story.
All right.
I mean, Muslims are not aware of their own Quran, or they simply ignore it on purpose.
All right, let's go to number two for the sake of time real quick. Then we get Aaron's joining us now. Number two of the Hamas points, over these long decades, the Palestinian people suffered all forms of oppression. First of all, there is no Palestinian people, so we figured that out. Number two, oppression, injustice, exploration of fundamental rights, and the apartheid policies. Now, I'm going to go to the old apartheid part, by the way. If this is an apartheid racist state, why, again, did they go and bring 747 loads of black Ethiopian Jews? Because they're not an apartheid state. They're not a racist state. The Arabs can be live in Israel and in Jerusalem. They can be a part of the Knesset. They can even serve on the U.S. On the Israeli Supreme Court. So this is absolute 100% lie. Why don't we get our Israeli correspondent to respond to this? Aaron?
Yes. Brennan?
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry. I did not hear the question.
Yeah, we're going through this Hamas narrative lies. We're addressing number two, that Israel is oppressors. They deny fundamental rights. They're apartheid policies. And I'm saying, how can that be the case when we have Arabs that live in Israel, live in Jerusalem, they serve in the Knesset, they serve on your Supreme Court? This is, I mean, if they're an apartheid state, why did they go to Ethiopia and bring back the black Ethiopian Jews, and they keep doing it, as we've talked. So again, we're knocking down another lie.
Yeah, it's one of those arguments that I, on one hand, it's like how pathetic that argument is when we have Arab judges, we have Arab soldiers, we have Arab policemen, we have Arabs who love our country, who are proud to call themselves Israelis. You know, there are testimonies. In fact, during this war, since the war started, there's been more Arabs volunteering to be in the Israeli army and police than before. So if this was an apartheid state, we wouldn't allow them. And on top of that, there's freedom for women's rights, freedom for women to be judges, freedom. We even have women who are now Air Force pilots. We have women who are heads of military intelligence. So where is the apartheid? Where is the misogynism? It's just it's one of those false narratives that serves the poor, oppressed Palestinian people. This
now
is
let me go to this one. Let me go to this one then for the sake of time. They say that the Palestinian people in Gaza also suffered from five destructive wars, aggressions, all of which Israel, they put Israel in quotes, by the way, was the offending party. What five destructive wars or aggressions are they referring to, Aaron?
Well, the big one would be what they call the Nakba, which happened in 1948 when we took over Palestine. And that was the day of massacre, of devastation. And really, that's the heart of it all, Brandon, is Israel exists. Israel is a nation. And, you know, 22, 23 Arab nations in the neighborhood is not enough. They want this land as well.
Well, we know that because you're right. The logo in the beginning of the document is all green. It's all theirs from the river to the sea. They're already telling you. We'll come back. I want to hear more about what happened in 1948 with those murders. We'll be right back. Not too long ago, we received 3,000 bottles of potassium iodine. This is to protect your thyroid in the event of a nuclear event. We had one distributor we wanted to purchase it from and offer to our audience, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't sell it to you because we cannot keep it in stock. Therefore, we can't sell it to you because, you know, you'll get upset with us because you'll need it to fill the orders you have, and we won't be able to send it to you, and that creates a PR problem for all of us. So, sorry, we can't keep it in stock. Well, that led us to search, and we were able to finally secure brand new 3,000 bottles of potassium iodine. And by the way, these are selling fast. Well, no wonder. The government recently, according to many reports, has ordered up $290 million in anti-radiation medication. What are they planning? We know the FBI and the military held a week-long nuclear strike event in Houston, Texas. In New York, they've been running PSAs for what happens if there's a nuclear attack. What is this all about? I have no idea what they're planning, folks, but I do know that among my family's emergency supplies is potassium iodine. You'll find it in supply at our store online at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You can also call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357, or just visit WVWTVstore.com.
You're not too worried about that.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, TV, worldviewtube.com, worldviewtube.com. Let's pick it up, Aaron, where you said 1948 was part, the crux of it, the founding of the State of Israel as we know it today in 48, which the, even on the right, so-called right, some of them say, well, see, there you go. You just admitted, House, Israel didn't exist until 48. The people existed. They were in the land. They had been scattered per God's judgment on them. And he says he'll stop being angry with them, cool his wrath, bring them back together, restore them as a nation once again. But the nation still existed. Maybe there wasn't a government, the Israeli government, but the nation, meaning the people, the nation of Israel, the people existed. They were just scattered. But they never gave up the land. They were still there. They've been there. They're still there. They just weren't an organized government till 48 that was operational. But what did you mention about what kind of violence and wars would are they referring to Hamas? And you mentioned it and tied it back to an incident in 48.
Well, the 1948 was when the United Nations voted for the state of Israel. And by the way, let me correct myself. Because the riots against the Jews coming back actually started way before 1948. In 1929, there was what was called the Hebron Massacre, where Arabs went and massacred a group of Jews. This is 1929. There was no State of Israel. There was no Judea and Samaria West Bank. It started back then. Here's the thing. The Palestinian people, they are crying that they believe in the right for them to return to their homeland, which they call Palestine. Now, here's my question. If they believe in the right of a return to their ancient homeland, let's say, okay, let's say we're talking with them and say, okay, we'll grant you that. If you believe in the right for your people to return to your homeland, do you think it's fair for the Jewish people, if they have an ancient homeland, to return to their land? And what are they going to say? Based on that premise, the return of themselves to their ancient homeland, okay, we actually were here way before there was a name Palestine. That name Palestine only came into our lexicon in 132 to 135 AD, the Roman Emperor Hadrian called this region Palestine, Palestina Secunda. But before that, it was called Judea. Before that, it was called the Kingdom of Israel, the Kingdom of Judah. We've been here 3,000 years ago. We also were scattered, and we actually were driven out of Arab lands. People living here today are Iraqi Jews, Egyptian Jews, Yemenite Jews. They were thrown out of their Muslim Arab lands. Now, we're not crying. We're not saying we want to return back to their lands. We've tried to move on and build our homeland. And if the Arab people living here, and there are many Arabs living here, if they're happy to live side by side with peace, they will get it very, very good for them. In fact, most of the Arabs that live in the state of Israel who understand they live in freedom, democracy, freedom for women, freedom for speaking against governments where they don't get their throats cut. And not that I'm for gay lifestyle, homosexual lifestyle. I'm against that. But I want to make it clear that if there are any gay people out there who are Palestinians, do you know if you want to live in Gaza Strip, you will be beheaded because they are against the gay lifestyle. So again, I'm not being pro-gay myself, but there is freedom in our democracy. So there's no such thing as official discrimination and racism. We have very high sense of justice in our nation. And you mentioned a good example before, Brandon. They are the Ethiopian Jews. They are black. They are from Africa. And they came here in the 1970s and the 1980s, two waves, Operation Solomon, Operation Moses. And they came here. Now, let me make it clear. Because they're black, some white Jewish people, they persecuted them because they were black. So there is racism, but those people were heavily condemned by our nation, by our people, by our government. Racism is not socially accepted in our nation. Crystal clear. So there's no such thing as it, and that's a false narrative. And like I said, if Arabs want to live at peace, they are treated with respect. After all, and I've mentioned this before, the Arabs are our cousins. Jacob and Esau, Ishmael and Isaac, they're our family. I've mentioned I work with Arabs. I'm a tour guide. I work with bus drivers. I work with shopkeepers. In fact, today I had an Arab shopkeeper phone me to see how I was. We talked about the situation. He's sitting in his shop. He's got no customers. He's got no tourists. He was an Arab. He called me. Good friend of mine. So, you know, there is peace to those who really want to live. It's called coexistence. And there are good cities in Israel which are great examples. For example, Tel Aviv, Haifa, Jaffa. These are what we call coexisting cities where Jews and Arabs live together, no problems, no tensions. I'll tell you what the tensions are in those cities is where you get Muslim Arabs and Christian Arabs. And a lot of the time there's tensions between those people. So that's a little bit of
That's excellent. Let me go to this point. I don't know who wants to take this one. Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, October 7th, targeted the Israeli military sites and sought to arrest the enemy soldiers. Look at that, arrest. Now, they act like they're doing some kind of legal arresting maneuver here. Arrest the enemy soldiers to put pressure on the Israeli authorities to release the thousands of Palestinians held in Israeli jails through a prisoner exchange deal. Therefore, the operation focused on destroying the Israeli army's Gaza division, the Israeli military site stationed near the Israeli settlements around Gaza. Annie, you want to take that one? Here they are. We were going to arrest them. Well, if they were going to arrest them, then why did they not do that? Why did they murder and rape and torture and burn alive and gang rape, I should say, also the women? If this was about Israeli soldiers, why did they go after the civilians and gang rape them and murder them and start dismembering their bodies while they're alive and burn them alive?
Well, for the sake of argument, I'm going to stick with their narrative for a minute. The plan was to attack the military bases, arrest Israeli soldiers, and force Israeli government to do a prisoner exchange. I think what they meant by arrest, the proper English for it is kidnap. There yes. is no international law that allows you to sneak into a country, snatch their soldiers to force the government to do, the word they use is forced prisoner exchange. That is, their own narrative is admission of planning to kidnap citizens and military members of a nation. Right there, they're admitting to their own agenda. But they go on that very point to say, mistakes happen. We're not perfect, so a mistake happens and a couple of civilians were killed.
Yeah, let me go to point two. Let me go where they mentioned that. Point two, avoiding harm to civilians, especially children, women, and elderly people, is a religious and moral commitment by the Al-Aqsa Brigade fighters. We reiterate that the Palestinian resistance was fully disciplined and committed to the Islamic values during the operation, and that the Palestinian fighters only targeted the occupation soldiers of those who carried weapons against our people. Now, let me ask you, Usama. We got a problem here because they're saying that they only went after the people that were armed, and they were particularly being careful about the children. But we saw that they chopped the foot off one kid while he was alive. And then they say that they only went after those that were, you know, part of the problem. Do they not see? We reiterate that for the Palestinian resistance was fully disciplined and committed to the Islamic values. Well, aren't the Islamic values to
Islamic
Let me finish. Isn't the Islamic values, Usama, to rape, to murder, to behead? Is not that not the Islamic values?
Islamic value is found in the Sunnah of Muhammad, the noblest example for every Muslim to follow. What did Muhammad do with Bani Qurayza? Children and women and men. He killed the men. He raped the women and the children. And they were civilians. They were not army. He killed between 600 to 900 Jewish men, beheaded them in one afternoon, taking their wives and daughters as concubines and slaves. He himself enjoyed two of them. So if you're talking about the moral and an example of Muhammad, it is what the Palestinian did. in October 7th. Nothing more, nothing less. It is exactly the barbaric savage of Muhammad's action and teaching, which is all over the Quran and the Hadith. Killing, raping is a victory of Allah. It is a noble thing for every Muslim to do.
All right, let's go to the next one. Three, maybe some faults happened during Al-Aqsa flood's implementation due to the rapid collapse of the Israeli security and military system and the chaos caused along the border areas with Gaza. As attested by many, the Hamas movement dealt in a positive and kind manner with all civilians who had been held in Gaza and sought for the earliest days of aggression to release them. And that's what happened during the week-long humanitarian truce, where those civilians were released in exchange for releasing Palestinian women and children from Israeli jails. You can respond to that here first in a minute here, Sharam. Four, what's the Israeli occupation promoted? What the Israeli occupation promoted? Notice, again, Israeli occupation. Promoted of allegations that the Al-Aqsa brigades on October 7th were targeting Israeli civilians are nothing but complete lies and fabrications. The source of these allegations is the Israeli official narrative, and no independent source proved any of them. It is well-known fact that the Israeli official narrative has always sought to demonize the Palestinian resistance while also legalizing its brutal aggression on Gaza. Well, if that's the case, then why were these guys wearing body cameras, the Palestinian Hamas terrorists wearing body cams? Because we got most of the footage from them.
Exactly right, Brandon. Exactly right. And the fact that there have been independent journalists allowed in to see that body footage, the cameras, CTV cameras. There's plenty of cameras. There's plenty of footage out there that is undeniable of them targeting civilians. There's plenty of eyewitness testimony. Every one of us knows people in Israel right now that have talked to and interviewed people that were in those kibbutzes that survived, that came out of those regions and were displaced, and can verify that propaganda narrative of Hamas is absolutely that. It is simply trying to, again, shift the blame. It is trying to minimize their actions. It is trying to communicate. And by the way, this is also consistent with Islam. Islam, when it conquers an area, when it attacks, it then wants to put the blame on the unbeliever. It wants to put the blame on those that they attacked. Well, we attacked you because you deserve it. Why is Islam the number one persecutor of Christians on the planet today? Why are the 365 million Christians that are in harm's way from persecution, the majority, the number one cause of that persecution is Islam, is Islamic ideology. Why is that? Because they're taught within the Quran, within the Sunnah, as Osama said, that it is their duty to make the Christians suffer, to make the Jews suffer, so that they would convert to Islam, so that they would come over to Islam and recognize Islam as the correct religion.
Hold right there, Usama. Hold right there. We'll be right back with more with all three of them. Don't go away.
We have slashed the shipping cost on our freeze-dried food at WVWTVstore.com. Hello, I'm Brandon House. And for this month of January and February, we are slashing our shipping by half. Half the cost gone. We're saving you half the price you would normally pay for shipping this heavy freeze-dried food. But this is for a limited time only at WVWTVstore.com. Here we are in January of 2024. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride as we go into the election in the fall of 2024, not to mention the threat of World War III, China going after Taiwan, all the military-age males that have poured over our border from Islamic nations and the CCP. Folks, do you have your preparations in order? Even the mainstream media like CBS Face the Nation's talking about a black swan event. A major national security black swan event in 2024. There's the talk of the power grid going down. Even the irresponsible FBI director told Congress that all the lights are flashing red for a terrorist attack. Well, it might be predictive programming, and they may cause it to happen or allow it to happen. But reality is, if it happens, you want to make sure you're prepared. I took about 3 days during the Christmas break
to get more organized. I've been prepping since 2013, but I had some prepping gear in one closet and another in another closet. I got organized, got it all put together in the right places. I know where everything is, and then I even added to it and updated. Well, here's your chance to update your emergency supplies by going to WVWTVstore.com for the month of January and February, as we have slashed shipping of our freeze-dried food in half. So that'll save some of you several hundred dollars, but you need to take action now while we have the supplies and while you can save half on the normal shipping price. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Again, you can place your order over the phone if you prefer, 901-468-9357. Or for greatest of ease, just go right online, WVWTVstore.com, and get it while it lasts and half off the shipping cost. Thank you. All right, we're back with all four of them. There are four, House, not three. We're going to pick it right back up. Go ahead, Sharam, finish up your statement, please.
I was going to mention two things. One is, you mentioned this blame, right? Because throughout this propaganda piece, they're blaming Israel. They're actually saying that Israel killed their own people. So that there's that narrative there. And I want we were all fair, right? When we were all on the air on October 7th, we were all fair that we knew that there was some sort of a stand down order. So I'm not saying that the Israeli government doesn't have to answer for something here, but this is propaganda. But I was going to go back to the point that Aaron made about 1948. I want to address the root of this document, which is occupation, right? The root of this document is to claim that they're occupied, that they're the ones who are the victims. Let's go back to the Balfour Declaration very quick. I'm going to try to be fast. The Balfour Declaration, which gave Britain mandate over the area, 1937. So after Aaron mentioned the 1929 massacre against the Jews by the Arabs there, 1936-1937, Lord Peel, the Peel Commission, at that time, before 1948, before the Nakba, before Israel ever was recognized from Resolution 181 in the United Nations as a nation state, in 1936-37, the Peel Commission was going to separate the land. They were going to give 67% of the current land of Israel to the Arabs and to the so-called Palestinians. The Palestinians rejected that. So at that time, they were going to get two-thirds of the current land, and Israel was happy taking one-third. Then 1948, from the partition plan, then it was 50-50. 50-50. They rejected that. Then you fast forward to the Six-Day War. You fast forward to the 1993 Oslo. Again, they were offered a Palestinian state. They rejected that. That failed. And then the 2005 withdrawal from Gaza, and then Hamas state. So this idea of 105-year occupation, we're the poor victim. They have been offered statehood to the point of two-thirds of the land, and they rejected it. You know why? Because the international community would not give them Jerusalem. This goes back to your point, Brandon, about the Al-Aqsa, about the Temple Mount. They want Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem, period. That's what this is all about, and that's what Islam is behind in annihilating the Jews and taking over that city, which is very
well said. Let me go to this, and I'm going to give closing comments to everybody, because this document is just so full of lies. At some point, it's kind of like what Aaron said yesterday. I mean, really, at what point do you even entertain these people? But I do think we need to do what we've done today. But look at this. Here are some of the details that go against the Israeli allegations. Video clips taken on that day, October 7th, along with the testimonies by Israelis themselves that were released later, show that the brigade's fighters didn't target civilians, and many Israelis were killed by the Israeli army and police due to their confusion. I have no proof that we had a bunch of Israelis killed by Israeli police or army. And to say again that there are civilians who say that, really? What Israeli civilians have been on camera saying, oh, no, they didn't kill anybody? Really? Bring those forward, please. Because, again, we're going after the body camera footage, largely of the murderers themselves. Then they go on to say they didn't behead babies. Okay, we didn't behead 40 babies. Okay, what was it, 39? We know for a fact you killed babies, okay? Then they go on to talk about the fact they didn't rape any women. And yet we know for a fact there's a video of a lady who is alive, who's being gang raped and then shot in the head while they're gang raping her. And that's on video. I have not seen it, but I have read the testimony and heard the testimony of people that have seen it and how they just have to almost vomit. They just can't take anymore. So for them to say these things, Aaron, we know is a bold-faced lie. Quick comment before we start getting closing comments from the other three.
All I want to say is as Shoram was talking, the verse from the Bible came to me. Many, many tekel yufasim. You know what those words were? They were the handwriting on the wall to Nebuchadnezzar. And they mean that you have been found weighed in the balances. And God's scales, he's weighing everything. There's a lot in the scriptures about a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. He is listening to these satanic, demonic, barefaced lies. The Lord himself said that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. There's nothing more to add to that, Brandon. These are absolute perverted lies. God is weighing the balances. And I'll tell you, the handwriting is on the wall in the Gaza Strip, in Khan Yunis, on the Rafah border. Let's wait and see what happens.
Annie, closing comment, please.
I'm going to quickly refer to page 14.5 of this propaganda piece, where it refers that what they're doing, being Hamas, on October 7th or any other occasion, is approved and legitimized by a UN General Assembly Resolution 3236. I want everybody to go read that resolution. That resolution approves of Palestinians to have the freedom of self-government and self-this and self-that within Palestine. That UN Assembly did not approve of Palestinians or their government or Hamas or the rest of the Arabic Islamic countries around Israel to attack Israel. That is a flat lie, cherry-picked line of that assembly.
Usama.
Well, Brandon, it's very simple. They waited from October 7 until 2 days ago to come up with this propaganda point to defend themselves and to defend their action. When in reality, everybody who have logic and common sense knew what they have done, and what they have done, it is exactly the perfect picture of Muhammad and Islam. The problem is we have people in the West, liberals, who would love to read these things that they may continue to support the Palestinians and Hamas against Israel. And that is why they repeat these lies. Hopefully, they can convince even more of the wacko and nutshell our people there to join them in their cause.
Closing comment, Shram.
Brandon, we're in these days where good has become evil, evil has become good, everything is upside down, and it is imperative, as you said at your opening statement, that we know the world's going to be confused, but we can't as Christians be confused to these things. And we have to be in the Bible and on the side of truth. And that's why this matters, to expose the lies of the enemy. Thank you for doing this. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this panel that can speak this narrative. But please understand, we all know this. We're still in the minority.
Absolutely.
Because the majority, unfortunately, believed it as propaganda and these lies. But the truth will prevail. God has a plan for the Jewish people. He is not done with them. The land belongs to God, and nothing will change that.
Amen.
Nothing
to
that. Will
Aaron
change that,
is,
no matter lies.
Aaron, lifetothenationsministry.com. Annie, liveuptofreedom.com. Usama, thestraightway.org. And tillministry.com. All right, thanks for watching. Stay tuned for Crosstalk. Take care.
Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com, or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio, and WVW-TV broadcasts.